What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
I felt like we had moved in the right direction, you know, holistically coming out of that practice. And it's not that they still don't need work, they do. But tonight was a chance for us to also evaluate some of the other players on our roster. And in doing so, also hope to keep some of our starters healthy as well. So I was looking forward to seeing some guys with the opportunity tonight step up. And I didn't sense that as much as I'd hoped.
Bills head coach Sean McDermott, I think we have found the, well, maybe not for every team, but for the Bills, the formula. Hey, who's the second preseason game against? Go ahead and schedule a joint practice. We'll get Josh out there for that, and then he won't play in the next game. Last year it was, well, it's raining. Maybe he would not have played because you thought he got enough work in the practice. And the Bills went out to Chicago. Josh Allen participates in the joint practice and then does not play in the game. I think it's the perfect answer. You want Josh to get preseason reps. This kind of does do that. You get live reps against another team, and they're all controlled environments. McDermott even said he had the whistle during that practice. So
yeah.
You get close to Josh Allen, he blows that whistle.
Yeah.
You know, like it works well, I think, for franchise quarterbacks. So the Bills have their joint practice. The Bears, by reading Bears accounts and Bears media accounts, had some nice plays in the joint practice. The Bills did as well. Keon Coleman with a touchdown. You know, some nice moments for both sides. We'll talk about it with Sal at 8 o'clock. And then the game is just all Bears. The preseason is to be taken seriously enough where you would wonder if the league wouldn't even call the Bills and say, you know what, why don't you let the Bears drop like 38 on you? You know, like how about a 38-0?
That was a nationally televised game, though, yesterday?
Yeah.
It was on Fox. I mean, they probably don't want, if you're going to get any casual football fans to watch your game yesterday, you better hope it's like a tied football game.
Maybe.
If someone is looking around last night like, hey, let me see if you were like this last week. Like, is there a preseason game on tonight? Oh, it's a preseason game on tonight. Bears and Bills. Let me put it on. It's in the second quarter. It's 28-0.
It's like, tough.
I don't know about this. 28-0.
You're right for casual observers, but any NFL fan would say, like, oh, well, the Bills are good. I know that. How about the Bears? Oh, Ben Johnson. How about it? Looks good. Colston Loveland, Luther Burden, Olamid Zaccheaus.
That guy.
Everybody looked good.
DJ Moore had a couple catches in this game, too. And
the only thing that looked bad from the Bears standpoint is Luther Burden wearing 87. It's really tough. He is going to have to do a lot of work to rescue that number from the land of tight ends. Because...
yeah, it's been since like Reggie Wayne, since 87 has felt.
A long time since a good receiver wore that number.
It might be Reggie Wayne.
Mohsin Muhammad. I feel like he's an 87.
That's an 87.
And for Burton to get that number back from the tight ends, he's got a big job ahead of him.
Yeah, he's gonna have to be fantastic. So
he had some big blocks in that game, Burton.
Yeah.
Crack blocks and, you know, good stuff. All right, we'll get some phone calls in. 803-0550. Why are we talking about receiver? Just watching Burton. Mike in Tonawanda. Hey, Mike.
What's going on, guys? Just wondering what you guys think of the idea of bringing in Justin Simmons. It's probably something that should have been done a long time ago. And while we're on the subject, you guys mentioned something. You mentioned Eagles, and I kind of got to bring this up. All the money that the Bills, you know, Bills are strapped with the cap right now, right? Where's all the money going other than Allen? And, like, where are the all-pro players are sold for? Because you look at a team like the Eagles, I mean, they never have been strapped the cap, and they got a lot of, like, blue-chip all-pro players. I still understand, like, other than Allen and maybe Deion Dawkins, where's all the money, you know?
Yeah.
Where's the all-pro players are sold for that all that money?
So, thanks, Mike, for the phone call. The Eagles did just have a bunch of free agent guys leave, but in cap space, right, the Bills have the least cap space in the league right now, and Philadelphia has a good amount. The Eagles don't pay a lot of... you know what? Let me, like, pull up their contracts. They have high-priced guys, the Eagles do, right? If you just go on cap hit this year, it's Hurts, Lane Johnson, A.J. Brown, Mailata, Goddard, Devonta Smith. But What the Eagles do, there's a couple things. One, they move a ton of money in void years forward. So they lower cap hits in a big way. Like Barkley just got a big extension. His cap hit this year is $6 million. Devonta Smith's is 7.5. Zach Bond just signed a deal. His cap hit is 4.3. Mm-hmm. The Eagles have five double-digit cap hits this year.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a lot, right? You want to know where all the money is for the Bills? There's probably a really good scientific way to do this. The Bills also have five cap hits in the double digits. They do have three guys with $9 million cap hits,
mm-hmm.
and that's Daquan Jones, Curtis Samuel, and Connor McGovern
mm-hmm.
that are nine. So if you go eight and above, the Bills have a bunch. And how many above eight do the Eagles have? Still only those five.
Yeah.
So
it's guys that you paid years ago that you're not necessarily wanting to extend right now.
Like,
isn't that it? Right? Like, in fact, they did this with Milano where they actually shed a year off his contract.
Mm-hmm.
You're not comfortable right now with saying to Matt Milano at 30 years old, coming off all those injuries, hey, cap it's $12 million a year. We want to extend you for three more years to get that lower. You wouldn't do that with Milano right now. You wouldn't do that with, I mean, maybe you would think they'd do that with Dawson Knox, but they haven't. You wouldn't do it with Daquan Jones.
No. Nope.
You wouldn't do it with Curtis Samuel. And I guess you could have thought they would do it with McGovern, but it's almost interesting to me that they haven't done it with McGovern. To say, he's been the center, he made that position switch, and it's looked pretty good. And still, $9.3 million, that feels like a natural, hey, three more years, and let's get that number down to four. And they've said no. Well, so far they've said we're not interested.
So where's all the money? Is it on middle class contracts?
I think so. It's on middle class contracts, and it's on, you know. And the other part of that is where are the all pro players for the money you're spending? I mean, they're not really paying anybody a all pro number. Right? Like,
no, but
Dawkins starts approaching that a little bit.
You can't really do that because for the Eagles, again, his A.J. Brown's cap hit is 17, which you know, $3 million more than Dawson Knox. And he's asking specifically about the Eagles here.
Yeah.
Dallas Goedert's cap hit is 10. Knox's is 14. You know, like,
mm-hmm.
the Eagles spread the money out more than almost any team. The Bills use void years like this as well. I don't want to get too far in the weeds. One of the reasons, this kind of gets to it again, like, one of the reasons I always want to talk about drafting receivers is because the Bills have two to three guys on this team where the money is just, it just kind of doesn't match up with what they get. Samuel is one of them. Elijah Moore, 2.5. Like, that's off the street. Like, okay.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
That's not a lot of cap space. I can't worry about that too much. Josh Palmer's 11 per year for 3 years. Like, that cap hit's going to show up eventually.
Yep.
I just think the Bills have a mindset of draft and develop and pay your guys. And keeping good players, which Bean talked about that last night on the broadcast,
mm-hmm.
that this is something we want to do. We've talked about it. He mentioned the Pegulas as part of this and McDermott. Draft and develop and sign your own. And this year it was five guys that they drafted and developed and signed their own. So should you sign every B player or should you say, no thanks, they're not A-plus guys? You know, the Bills have a mindset of keep the B guys, keep the B-plus guys, keep maybe even the B-minus guys because it's better that than, you know, going into the desert on some of these positions. So, I don't know, Mike. I hope that answers it as best we can. It's probably not exactly the right answer, but what the Eagles do, a lot of it is they push so much money into the future. If you're just doing it by year, like multi-year cap table, let me pull that up for
the Eagles. Yeah, because, like, I would guess, like, 5 years from now, the Bills have a lot of space and the Eagles have, like, the least in the league.
Well, I think the Bills have the second least, and that's in part because of Allen being signed.
Sure.
But right, if you just look at 2030, the Eagles have $148 million committed in 2030.
Already? That's crazy.
The Niners have 92, the Bills have 89, the Jags 77. But that means the Eagles have almost twice as much money committed in 2030 as the Bills. Right. And that is not money for players that are going to be playing in 2030.
No, most of those guys probably are gone.
Right. They're expecting to just say, who cares about the cap? We're going to be fine.
Right.
So, and that number, by the way, if you go off of 2030 and go to 2029, 28, 27, you know, the Bills have lots of money committed in those years. They're near the top. They're kind of near the top of money and committed right now to 2027, 2028, the Bills are, and 2029, they're number two. And then 2030, that's where the Eagles have, like, far and away the most. So some of it's contract structuring. Maybe this comes up because you're wondering about, hey, Trey Hendrickson, right? The Bengals are listening to offers on Trey Hendrickson. Can the Bills make that work? They'd need to find $19 million in cap space now. And that's not an easy thing to do.
No.
I mean, it's an easy thing to in hindsight, go say, you know, I don't need this guy or this guy or this guy. But you can't do that in hindsight. Thanks, Mike. Justin Simmons. You did mention Justin Simmons.
He was in Atlanta last year after being in Denver for a while and looking at his Pro Football Focus stuff. That went okay, but not great. 32 years old. I don't know. Like, what am I going to hear immediately about that idea? Like, Sal's voice in my head, how, like, they love their safeties to have all the reps and, like, experience in the system, right? And a guy walking off the street and starting, like, talent level, that might be there. But I guess I'm not sure that they would be willing to just start a guy at that position off the street compared to other positions.
It is a spot that I saw Jay Skursky of the news tweeting this last night. Their addressing of the safety spot behind Cole Bishop was, you know, re-signing Hamlin and adding Derek Forrest for, I mean, almost nothing.
Have we heard from him at all?
Right. And so, the day of the draft, or 2 days before the draft, Malachi Starks came up as an idea, and Sal, you know, told us they're not going to take a safety. They like their guys. They like Rapp and Bishop.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see how that comes together. Those two need reps. I wonder if we would be talking about them no matter what, if they still needed reps. It's a real prove-it position for us, right? A lot of their other spots have guys we know are good. Linebacker, fine. Good. Great, even.
Yep.
With Bernard and Milano. Corner, I know Benford's great. Trey White, okay, we'll see. First-round pick, Maxwell Hairston. Like, there's a lot of pedigree there, and there's at least one elite guy holding it down. Defensive line. Ed Oliver's paid. Rousseau's paid. Epinesa's a veteran. Bosa has had success. Like, if you're looking around the Bills' defense, the position to be confident, there's a few. And I think safety is one where almost no matter what, until we actually see them in the regular season, we're going to wonder, is that going to work with Rapp and Bishop? And I watched over the weekend, or just before the weekend, Brett Coleman of the Bootleg Football Podcast, who does hour and 20-minute breakdowns of every team. I mentioned this on Friday, Joe, when you were off.
Mm-hmm.
And he basically said, for the Bills, they're going to be great again. They're going to be great, and they're going to play Kansas City, and we're going to see what happens if they can finally do the job. But his biggest concern for the Bills this year were two spots. Defensive tackle, have they done enough? And safety, can they hold it together? That's it. If you look at PFF grades, all the Bills' safeties grade terribly.
Mm-hmm.
Brett Coleman went so far as to say you could tell the Bills did not trust their safeties last year by the coverages they called.
Mm-hmm.
They did not play the normal McDermott defenses. He breaks down the Bills every single year. And what's different?
Yeah.
Like, their safeties are so problematic that they change the way they play defense to protect their safeties.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see if they have to do that this year, if they can get those two on the right page, have it all come together, and kind of, you know, get loose once again. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. If you're joining us on the YouTube stream, welcome. Give us a like. Give us a subscribe. And fire a comment our way as well. If you've never done that, you can jump in and you can join the bullpen as well. Or you can be listening on the app. Give us a call, 803-0550. Sal at 8, the Bills get
slop. There are a lot of adjectives. Yeah, mauled.
Slobber knockered. They get
slobber knockered.
They get waxed. They get bearsed. Mauled. Yeah. 803-0550. Jeremy and Sean, WGR.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.